Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi there, baseball fans, and welcome to the postgame show. After the team from Southern California rebounded from two losses up north and earned their first win in the Interstate 5 series, a 6-2 Game 3 victory at Dodger Stadium. Chavez Ravine was rocking. The sound system was cranked up from deafening to, hey, you can hear the music and sound effects from space. We'll start the story of this game at the end, which couldn't have been more thrilling. Barry Bonds, who had hit four homers in the first two games of the series, came to bat with two outs, the bases loaded, and the Northern California team down four. Bonds could have tied the game with one swing, and the way he was going in this series, you thought there was no way he'd fail. But Raleigh Fingers brought that big mustache onto the mound. He had created the mess, and then he got out of it by getting Bonds to pop out for the 27th out. So Jim Palmer started for the SoCals, provided a performance they needed to avoid going down 3-0 in the series. It helped that his offense pounded CC Sabathia for five runs on a two-run Mark McGwire homer in the first and a three-run blast from Fred Lynn in the second. Lefty Gomez relieved Sabathia and kind of made a case that he should have maybe been that starting pitcher in this game. He pitched six in the third shutout innings. He gave the NorCal offense a chance, but they couldn't capitalize. And I bring in Northern California manager Bruce Jenkins. And, you know, while Bruce, you're managing this team in this series, Gabe Kapler's the one who set the rotation for the first three games. And Sabathia was a controversial choice. I mean, what would the options have been? Gomez, I imagine, would have been one.
Oh, without a doubt. Pitching for the 1934 Yankees, one of the great World Series pitchers ever, if you look it up. A good change of pace as a left-hander. Would have been a wonderful choice. Dave Stewart would have been a good choice. I'm sure anybody who followed Dave Stewart's Oakland A's career, about as big a money pitcher whoever came along. We got CC from Kapler's call. It didn't work out. I will say that as I met the press afterward, my first words were, that damn Kapler, what the hell does he know? No, actually, I didn't even mention Kapler. I'm not going to say, this is not my fault. CC's a hell of a pitcher. He got hammered. He got hammered by two of the best. That's the thing here. I mean, you talk about Mark McGwire and Fred Lynn, and not everybody's going to stand out. So put us in a hole, and now this is a series.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the biggest home run Fred Lynn had hit since he took Atlee Hammaker deep for the first Grand Slam in All-Star Game history in 1983. He probably, came to the plate thinking, gosh, I sure wish I had Atlee Hammaker on the mound and not CC Sabathia, but he made the most. Lefty Gomez, 6 1/3 shutout innings. I mean, Lefty was, in his era, one of the greatest World Series pitchers ever, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was. Was he 5-0 lifetime? I'd have to look that up. I know we're using his 1934 season in particular, but he was just an automatic in the World Series. A huge part of those great teams with Joe DiMaggio, Bill Dickey, Red Rolfe, before the Mantle and DiMaggio era. Joe D, I worked in there too. But, Lefty Gomez, talk about the conversation in the dugouts. He was a little restless. Here's game three, and he's still not starting. But, man, to go 6 1/3 allowing one hit against this lineup is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal performance by Gomez. It's too bad it was kind of wasted. I wouldn't say garbage time because the game was still close, but he wasn't able to pitch with a lead that well. And unfortunately for the NorCals, Jim Palmer just had a great game, which you would expect from him. I presume he was pitching with pants on, not just in underwear. The Northern California lineup, which is a heck of a lineup. Just couldn't come back. And so this game started the way the first two did, up north at Seal Stadium in Candlestick Park, with the home team getting a first inning jump with the long ball. Sabathia walked Ted Williams, which happens a lot in the series and in real life. That brought Mark McGwire to the plate, and here's John Miller with the call.
Last half of the first inning, nothing, but Ted Williams, who walked, is at first base, and Mark McGwire at the plate against Sabathia. McGwire, big right-handed batting slugger, and the pitch. And he hits one deep, way back into center field. This one has a chance, way back there, still going, and goodbye! A two-run homer for Mark McGwire, not into Big Mac land, but in a tough place usually to hit a home run here at Dodger Stadium. And just like that, Southern California, needing a win, has a 2-0 lead.
The SoCals continued their assault on Sabathia in the second inning. Robin Yount hit a double over Willie Stargell's head into the right field corner, and catcher Lance Parrish walked, I think Parrish getting his first start of the series. Then the big blow, a 3-run homer by Fred Lynn that gave the SoCals a 5-0 lead. So right off the bat, we have 5 runs with Jim Palmer on the mound to protect the lead. It's almost a reverse image of Game 2 when the NorCals took an early lead and Tom Seaver ran with it and pitched a 3-hitter for the win. Bruce, what is it you've loved about watching Jim Palmer throw over the years?
Oh, man, one of the most stylish pitchers ever. I'll never forget the 1979 World Series in Baltimore, one of his starts. You know, they warm up down the third baseline, and as Palmer finished his warm-ups and started walking toward the Orioles dugout, the fans standing, you know, like the wave as he passed, they all stood and applauded him. Such great history and so much to come from him. And he did strip down later for the benefit of the cameras for the audience out there in the locker room. He did do his post game in his undies, which I thought was only right. But I love Jim Palmer. Loved watching him work. He had a beautiful pitching motion, and you know what a career. Tim Kirchen recently wrote that Jim Palmer never gave up a grand slam. And on a couple of times in his career, he actually walked a guy with the bases loaded. Not blatantly, but he walked the guy just knowing he could get the next guy because that grand slam thing meant so much to him. I'm sure it was like 8-1 at the time. But
one of the all-time greats. It wasn't 5-4 like when Buck Showalter had, or 5-3 when Buck Showalter had Barry Bonds walked intentionally so he could face Brent Main. A little bit of a different
situation. Yeah.
California team is down, finding itself down by multiple runs for the first time in the series. Now Bonds, who had already hit a bunch of home runs, he had a chance to get the NorCals back into the game when he batted with a runner on and a run in the seventh inning. Now Southern California manager Houston Mitchell turned to Trevor Hoffman, who was Dave Roberts' pick to close. Dave Roberts said he would go with Hoffman and, because he loved that changeup, and it worked out. Hoffman struck out Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds at the plate as Northern California tries to get back into the game. Bonds, who had hit 4 home runs in the first 2 games of the series, was 0-3 against Jim Palmer today, but now he's got 2 men on, and Trevor Hoffman in from the bullpen to face him, 6-2, Southern California leading. Hoffman with the great changeup, and even Bonds has troubles with Trevor Hoffman. 2 strikes to count. And the pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck him out. And yet, that was the changeup. Still 6-2. Southern California going to the last of the seventh.
What did you think about when you heard Dave Roberts with all the great closers that the Southern Californians had? What were your thoughts about using Hoffman in well, this is not a closing situation. It was in the seventh inning, but sort of picking him as the guy that he would want in the ninth inning of a tight game.
Yeah. Well, as it happened, as the voting went, there were a lot of tremendous relief pitchers. Dan Quisenberry comes quickly to mind as Southern California relievers that could have made this staff. As it happened, with the fans' votes, the only real relievers were Hoffman and Raleigh Fingers. So, you know, Dave was always partial to Hoffman. And what can you say? I mean, he's the San Diego fans will argue just as vociferously for him as the A's would be for Raleigh. But, you know, Bonds had gone 0-3 against Palmer, which spoke highly of Palmer. But Houston wanted Hoffman here. And I got he threw a changeup and struck out Bonds to end the inning.
Yeah, well, you know, Houston is a tinkerer. We all know that. But, you know, there's a lot of tinkering in this series because, I mean, you made it clear in the, before the series began that there are 34 players on each team. And, you know, in the old days in a World Series, you might have 10, 11 guys play all 7 games if it went that far. But you wanted to get as many of the Northern California players in as you could, right?
Yeah, I started Keith Hernandez in game two at Candlestick, you know, out of Cappuccino High in San Bruno. And you just look down the bench when we get to the East Bay, I'm going to be looking at Kurt Flood and Willie McGee and Jimmy Rollins. You know, it's amazing. And Houston and I both agreed that we're not going to make this a circus. But, you know, at the same time, you want to get guys in. Game one, I got a bunch of old San Francisco guys. I got four guys from way back in time into that game and managed to survive it. So that's kind of the way we both want to do it. We want to win. We don't want to make it a joke, but we want to get players in there too.
Okay. I didn't hear a word you said because the sound system at Dodger Stadium was so loud. It was just blasting my ears. So all I heard the word circus, and then I heard
Well, Beethoven's coming in next.
Beethoven, okay.
Theme from Strike Three, as he wrote so long ago.
Well, we go to the ninth inning, and the Northern California team did rally against Raleigh. You had Harry Heilman drew a pinch walk. Aaron Judge also came up as a pinch hitter, and he got a pinch base hit. Ricky Henderson walked. That loaded the bases. So the Northern California team, down 6-2, had something going here. And it seemed that even though he went 0-3 against Palmer and then got struck out by Hoffman, it seemed like with the bases loaded and the Northern Californians down four, down to their last out, it was good to have Barry Bonds up. Didn't go the way the NorCals wanted it to, and here's how John Miller called it.
6-2 Southern California with two down in the ninth inning, but Raleigh Fingers, who got the first two hitters easily enough, then walked Harry Heilman, gave up a pinch hit single to Aaron Judge, and then he walked Ricky Henderson, and now Barry Bonds comes up. Bonds is the possible tying run, and he's already hit four home runs in the series. Although he's 0-3 today, Jim Palmer retired him three straight times. So here's Fingers with tension and drama aplenty at Dodger Stadium, and he throws. Bonds swings and pops it up. First baseman McGuire over near the bag. He's got it, and that does it for the drama in the ninth. But Fingers hangs on for the win, 6-2, Southern California. Now it's 2-1, Northern California ahead as the scene shifts to Anaheim for game four tomorrow.
All right, a 6-2 Northern California loss. Northern California still has a 2-1 lead in the series, and as I hope that the fans have figured out so far, the series is going to be played in a bunch of different stadiums. And tomorrow, the game four will be at Angel Stadium of Anaheim, of Los Angeles, of Angel Land, of Moreno Land of Anaheim. Bruce, you made a decision here. You decided not to bring Randy Johnson back on short rest, but instead you're turning to Dave Stewart, whom Gabe Kapler didn't select for one of the first three starts. Steven Strasburg will go for the SoCals. And I'm just wondering if your decision not to have Randy Johnson come back on short rest had anything to do with the fact that you're ahead. Might that decision have been different if the NorCals were behind in the series?
Well, yeah. I mean, we certainly haven't seen the last of Randy Johnson. You know, I'm expecting things to get interesting because I did so much respect for that Southern California team. But I needed Dave Stewart to have a start in this series, and I wasn't going to wait any longer. I mean, he just simply has to. Ask Roger Clemens about Dave Stewart, who beat him in every big game they ever faced. So it's going to be Stu, and, you know, I'm leaving it open for the rest of it. Who knows how it's going to go after that? We'll see how this goes, but I feel good about Stewart pitching tomorrow in Anaheim. Lord knows those Angel fans have memories of Stewart shutting down their team, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you after game four when you will either be looking at a 3-1 Northern California lead or a 2-2 series. Well, until then, Bruce.
Talk to you then, Henry.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the Giant Splash or A's Plus podcast so you can hear future recaps from this Golden Greats World Series.